Good morning. Welcome to everyone. It's great to see everyone here today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And we know that each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here in His presence. You may or may not have noticed the bulletin. I warned you last week that Michelle had a broken wrist and she wouldn't be able to do the bulletin. So I did the economy version. Charlie says we need to watch our expenditure, so... But I thought, well, you know, a little one will do. It was easier for me to do this way, and besides which, because of Grant's expertise, everything is on the screen anyway. So that's why your bulletin is the economy version today. You'll notice that we have our wedding banners up, and that was because yesterday we had a beautiful ceremony here when Janice Reid changed her name. Janice married Carl Doran and they were united in holy matrimony. We had a beautiful day with them here yesterday, and hence we tend to leave the banners up. So as a reminder of the vows that we've all made to our partners sometimes a lot of years ago. But anyway, there we go. And so, Sandra, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. The most of the announcements are on the back of the bulletin. I'll read them just in case you can't. There's still a tub in the foyer for winter gifts for the mustard seed. And the Remembrance Day service in town is Friday, November 11th at the Community Hall at 10:30 a.m. The Operation Christmas Child, the ladies will assemble the boxes at their November 10th meeting. And then December 6th, a group from our church is going to Samaritan's Purse to help with the boxes. And I don't know if they have extra room for other people. So there's still room. So if you've never done that, or if you would like to do it again, then you could maybe talk to Wilma. Ladies' Bible study continues. We're drawing to the end of our present study, and we'll be starting a short one to go till Christmas, so that'd be a good time to break in if you haven't been coming. elders, our meeting is November 19th at 9 a.m. And there's a potluck lunch after church on November 20th. Those are all my announcements. I have two people that would like to come up and give an announcement. The first is Pat. So I'll let Pat come up.
Good morning. The last time I was up here, I told you that we failed to be able to do Joseph and the Mini Technicolor Dreamcoat, but that there was a core group of people who were still interested in presenting drama productions. And our first one is actually going to be Christmas Eve. We're going to do a small... I guess you'd call it a skit because it only takes about 20, 25 minutes. And it's going to replace Ian's sermon. But Ian's in it. So you'll still get to see Ian because he's one of the leads. So he's there. However, this script requires three more women and one man. The two of the women's roles and the man's role are small. I'll tell you that right now. I think they only have maybe 3 to 4 speeches. The other woman that we're missing is the one that will play Mary in the pageant part of the play. It still isn't a huge role, but I do need 4 more volunteers. And if anyone is interested in learning how to run theater lights, we also need a theater technician. So if somebody would like to volunteer that. And they can either talk to myself or Carolyn Clark. Carolyn is my assistant director, producer, friend. and then 2 other requests I have. I need 2 garden benches. This particular skit takes place in a park, and so we just need 3 garden benches up here. I have one, but if there is anybody that could loan me one for Christmas Eve, loan me 2 for Christmas Eve, that would be awesome. And if any of you happen to have kept your really old-fashioned video camera, the ones that take the big tapes, we need to borrow one of those as well for Christmas Eve. So if you can help us out in any of those areas, if you could talk to myself or to Carolyn after church, we'd really appreciate it. The rehearsal, just so that you know, the rehearsal for the extra parts, because they're small, is also going to be short. So you won't be tying yourself up forever. Probably only 2 rehearsals plus dress rehearsal, and that would be it. So if you're able to give us that time commitment and then be prepared to be up front on Christmas Eve, I would really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
And Joanne has an announcement as well.
A lot of you may recall back in January, we had an idea and we had a dream. And our dream was to raise money for breast cancer. And it started in this church in February with the adult supper and the very gracious givings of about $550 that we received from the congregation that was seed money to help us start out on our way and to make this dream come true. And we truly thank you all for that. Well, we raised, as a group in the Cremona Water Valley area, $43,556.94. There were 23 towns that they did this year, and a total of $177,038 was raised. So that in our community, we raised 24% of the money that was received, or that was raised. And consequently, we are, Cremona Water Valley, the pinkest little town in Alberta. We just found this out yesterday, and I'd just like to thank you all for getting our journey started and for all the support that the community gave us on our way, and we are very thankful for it.
Thank you.
That was excellent. That was absolutely amazing. It's amazing how the Lord's hand touches the things that we commit ourselves to do in His name. And you get a result like that, which is absolutely amazing. We thank everybody from our community and especially from our own church family here who helped to drive that whole thing along. And it took a lot of hard work and a lot of people working really well and really hard to raise that money for cancer research. Good job, everyone. Well done. Any other announcements? Oh, you're there. What's this?
At least one more week of this while I adapt.
Right.
And when I do resume it, whoever reading will be the folders. Thank you very much. I received a card from the congregation as well as quite a few phone calls and some baking and pies to my dream and stuff this week, and it was very much appreciated. So thanks very much.
You're welcome, Michelle. Glad to see you back. That's great. You didn't come on the quad, did you? No. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before His presence in silence. Joshua said, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." We look forward to once again to having our youth praise team up here to lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
You don't get a warm up this morning.
Of your holy is the
as you are.
Come just as you
say that I'm your friend. for my desire.
For my desire.
No one else will do.
Thanks to Phil and Youth Praise for leading us into our worship with those beautiful approach choruses. Good job. Thank you so much. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, as each and every one of us made our way to this holy place this morning, we could see you all around us. We can see your creations, Lord, as the seasons change again. We can see your might and your grandeur in the beauty of the shining mountains. And we see you, Father, and we feel your presence as we come into this holy sanctuary. And we are greeted by our friends. And you bless us, Lord. You enrich our lives. You remind us that we are your children, that you are our Father, and you bless us. And so, gracious Father, in this time of worship, we pray that you will accept the praise that we bring. You pray, Lord, that you will hear us as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every other name. And we pray, Holy Father, that you will speak to us again, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that you will bless us with your holy word. Bless us, Father, in the name of Jesus, for we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis 7, verses 5 to 16 in the Contemporary English Version. Noah was 600 years old when he went into the boat to escape the flood, and he did everything the Lord had told him to do. His wife, his sons, and his daughters-in-law all went inside with him. He obeyed God and took a male and a female of each kind of animal and bird into the boat with him. 7 days later, a flood began to cover the earth. Noah was 600 years old when the water under the earth started gushing out everywhere. The sky opened like windows, and rain poured down for 40 days and nights. All this began on the 17th day of the second month of the year. On that day, Noah and his wife went into the boat with their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. They took along every kind of animal, tame and wild, including the birds. Noah took a male and a female of every living creature with him, just as God had told him to do. And when they were all in the boat, God closed the door. Please join me in our responsive reading from Psalm 78 this morning. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done.
He decreed statutes for Jacob and established law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers.
So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God, and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Now it's our pleasure, our joy to invite Phil and the Youth Praise back up here again to lead us in our special music. Thank you. Phil and the praise band practicing this morning, and I happened to mention to them afterwards how nice it sounded, and Phil said, well, let's hope it sounds as nice when we do it for real. Did it sound nice? Did it ever? It was great. Good job. Beautiful. We appreciate that, and we always do. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. If the children would like to come and join me, please. Is that music? Let's show everybody your music. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Music. Did you write that yourself?
Yeah.
Very good. Maybe you could come back next week and sing it for us. Okay? Okay, how many of you helped to get yourselves ready on a morning? One, two, three. How many of you help to get yourself ready in the morning, you know, before you go out to school? Or you do, good for you. Most people do, don't they? They help to get themselves ready. So what I've done is, in this bag here, I've got some things that we use when we try to get ready on the morning. What's this first one? Lavender? No. What's in here? Smell. No, it's not medicine. Yes, it's soap. Have you never seen one of these before?
This is soap. What do we use soap for when we get ready in the morning? We get bathed and we get showered and we get ready. Washing your hands. Can you imagine if you didn't have any soap and you couldn't get washed on a morning, what it would be like when you went out? Soap. Okay. Say something else that we do when we get ready in the morning. I've got to be careful here. Yep. You have breakfast, don't you? Yeah, yeah. Oh! It's not a real egg, this one, but we have breakfast on a morning, don't we? And sometimes... Yeah. So what comes out? Oh, it's not one of them eggs. No, it's not one of them. It's got something nice inside. What do you like to have for your breakfast?
I like having cereal.
Cereal, okay. Oatmeal, that's good for you. No. You'll break it. I need to put it up here. I'm not finished with it yet. So can you imagine if you got up on a morning, you had no soap and you couldn't get washed and you had nothing to eat for your breakfast and you had to go out like that. What would you be like? Oh, wouldn't be very good, would it? What else do you do in the morning when you get ready?
You dress up.
How did you know that? You get dressed, don't you? You put your clothes on and you get yourself all ready and wear your best things. Yeah. Now then, can you imagine if you didn't get dressed and you went out with nothing on? No, it wouldn't. Yeah, it would be cool in this weather. So here we've got no soap, so we couldn't get washed. Nothing to eat, so we couldn't have any breakfast. Nothing to wear, so we had to go out with nothing on. What would that be like? Oh, that would be bad. Let's see what else I've got here. What's this? What's it for? Brushing your teeth. So everybody brushes their teeth, right? And if you didn't have a toothbrush and you didn't have any toothpaste, so now we've got no soap, can't get washed, nothing to eat, no breakfast, nothing to wear, going out undressed, and you can't clean your teeth. What would that be like? Would you be very popular? Ooh. All these things are important because we use all of these type of things when we get ready in the morning, right? We get ready to go out. We get prepared to go out. Now then. Yesterday, we were at a wedding. Quite a few of you were at the wedding as well, weren't you? And last night, there was a wedding party. Yeah, and everybody joined together and had fun. Now, Jesus told a story about 10 girls who were going to a wedding party. And 5 of them didn't get ready properly, and 5 of them did. And the 5 who weren't ready, who weren't prepared, that didn't do all these things, well, they didn't get in. Because when they got there, the door was closed. They didn't get to go to the party. So Jesus told us this story because he wants us to remember that there's lots of things in life we have to get ready for. We have to get prepared for. We've got to get prepared in the morning, brush our hair, clean our teeth, put our clothes on, all that kind of good thing. We've got to get prepared to go out and visit people and our friends. We've got to prepare for lots of things, going to parties. But Jesus also says we've got to get prepared to go to heaven. Because someday we all hope to go to heaven. So how do we do that? We read the
Bible.
We come to
heaven.
We say our
prayers.
And we obey our parents and we do all of those good things. And that's how we... Sorry?
We obey God.
We obey God. Oh, that's off my microphone. Thank you. So we prepare to go to heaven, and that's what Jesus said. We have to prepare for many, many things in life. And if you don't prepare, then when you get there, the door will be closed. So you remember that. So shall we put our hands together and say a little prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've taught us many things. And then a very important thing you taught us, Lord, is to prepare for all of the things that we plan to achieve in life. And if we do that, that you will help us to achieve what you want us to achieve. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Kathy, over to you.
Well, you know, I was thinking, as
And she was up partying all night. What are we going to do now? Let's see. We stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 228, Rejoice, the Lord is King. So we bow our heads and we join once again in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, your Spirit searches all things, and your love bears all things. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to draw close to you in sincerity and in truth. Save us, Father, from the hypocrisy of worshipping you with our lips, whilst our hearts and our minds are elsewhere. Save us from the useless labour of attempting to conceal our real selves from you, you, Lord, who search our hearts and know us completely. And so, Holy Father, with our hearts wide open before your throne of grace, we worship you in the beauty of holiness, in this hallowed place, which means so much to us, and for which we thank you, Lord. Make us strong enough to bear the vision of truth that you set before us. Grant us a portion of your Spirit, sufficient that we may be effective witnesses to your truth in our world. And we pray for our world, Father, that your truth may truly set your people free from bondage, from the bondage of Satan, and from the temptations of the world. And in this week before us, Lord, we will remember. We will remember with grateful hearts the sacrifices made by so many people, by so many families, and by so many communities. Sacrifices made, Father, that we might live in freedom and in peace. We will never forget, Lord. We will always be thankful to those who gave so much for us. And we thank you, Father, for our church family and for the love that binds us and keeps us together as a family. And we pause for a moment, Lord, to offer a small prayer for those who are sitting close by us. And we ask you, Father, to meet the needs in their lives at this time. We thank you, Lord, for all of those friends whose presence each week uplifts our spirits. And in their faces and in their lives, we see our Lord Jesus, and we are thankful. We pray for our friends, Lord, who are not able to be here today. And we think of them. And as we think of them, we visualize them. And we ask your blessing upon them. And along with them, Father, we lift up to you those that we know of who are sick at this time, sick in body, in mind, or in spirit. And knowing that you will hear these prayers, Lord, we whisper their names before you now. And we pray now, Father, for ourselves. We each know, Lord, just how much we need you to be with us during our living, during the week ahead. And you know, Lord, what challenges lie before us. And we know, Lord, that if you are right there with us, that we can cope with all things. You promised us, Lord, that you would be with us always. And so we pray, Lord, that you will grant to us an ongoing awareness of your presence, that we may worship you at all times and in all places, as we seek again to lift high the glorious name of our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we offer all of our prayers. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The gospel is taken from Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way out to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And the epistle is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we will tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words.
Thanks to Janet for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn 536, Happy the Home When God Is There.
Happy the
like at this point to acknowledge and thank Laurie for providing our music today. Peggy was dancing the night away last night at the wedding reception, and so Peggy's got a house full of guests obviously with the wedding, and Laurie very kindly stepped in and said that she would play for the whole service, and we appreciate it because you were also dancing the night away. Thank you. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A mother once wrote to the Catholic Digest saying that one day when she was heading up the stairs with a basket full of the last load of washing, which had all been ironed and pressed and ready to put away, her eldest child, who was then in kindergarten, chose that very moment to ask one of those questions that seemed to intrigue most children at some time or other. "Mom," she asked, "if it was the end of the world and everyone was getting ready to die," and Mom shifted the basket from one hip to the other and offered an ultra-quick prayer for wisdom to answer this question that was coming. "Yes," Mom prodded her daughter, and the little girl then finished her theological inquiry. "If the end of the world came," she said, would you have to take your library books back? Now, that was a young lady that did not want to leave any unfinished business in her life when that time came. And Jesus told a story about the end of the world. We know it as the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the 10 maidens, the 10 virgins, different titles. And he told us this story to teach us the importance of being prepared. Alexander Findlay tells of what he observed on a trip to Palestine. This is what he said. When we were approaching the gates of a town, I caught sight of 10 maidens, gaily clad and dancing to some kind of a musical instrument as they danced along in front of our car. When I asked our guide what they were doing, he told me they were going to keep the bride company till the bridegroom arrived. I asked him if there was any chance of us seeing the wedding, but he shook his head, saying, well, the wedding might be tonight, could be tomorrow night, it could even be in 2 weeks' time. Nobody knows for certain. Then he went on to explain that one of the things to do, if you could, at a middle-class wedding in Palestine, was to try and catch the bridal party napping. So the bridegroom, who is the principal person in the whole of the wedding, he comes unexpectedly, sometimes in the middle of the night. So reading and hearing this man's story of what he actually observed helps us to put this story of Jesus into some kind of context. 5 of the 10 bridesmaids were well prepared for their undetermined wait for the coming groom. They had oil in their lamps, they had a backup supply. Should it be a nighttime arrival, they were well prepared. But sadly, the other 5 bridesmaids were not as well prepared. They wanted, as much as the other 5, to be part of the wedding celebrations. They were probably looking forward to it just as much as the others. But they ran out of oil. And by the time that they arrived at the wedding celebration, the door was closed. They had had their chance, but they were too late. And I think Jesus, in his parable, is suggesting that some things cannot be put off until the last moment. Now, I don't know if our church insurance policy covers earthquakes. Charlie probably knows. But earthquake insurance is not something that you can put off until the last moment. In about 20 seconds, a tremendous amount of damage can be caused by an earthquake, and you don't have time to call a stewards meeting, then a board meeting, and so on. No time to establish a committee to shop around to find the best rates. Diapers and wipes are not something that you can put off until the last minute. Preparation for an exam cannot be put off until the night before. And so we see that in business, in our home lives as mums and dads, we all understand that some things simply cannot be put off until the last minute. You've got to prepare for them. You've got to be ready. Yet it's amazing how many of us fail to grasp this concept when it comes to life and life's decisions. Why is it that so often people put off life's important decisions until the last moment? And Jesus says, because when we do that, we are foolish. We are foolish. It is the foolish person who is unable to look down the long road and see what is so obviously there, what is so obviously coming. So it's not that these foolish maidens lacked any desire to be at the party. They desperately wanted to be there. They genuinely wanted to participate in the celebration. They just gave it insufficient forethought. They did not plan carefully ahead for what they knew was coming. All too often, we foolishly think that heaven can wait. Jesus is telling us there is a time limit, and we do not know the extent of our time limit, but the door will close. The door will close. In the book of Genesis, we read the story of Noah and the boat that he built by God's instruction. And when the great flood came, all of Noah's family boarded the ark, all of those who were invited to do so by God. And the scripture reads, when they were all in the boat, God closed the door. God closed the door. Now I would imagine that at that time, with those flood waters rapidly rising, that there would have been plenty of other people there pounding on the doors of the ark wanting to get in. But the door closed by God was a symbol of safety and God's deliverance for those who were inside. But for those who were outside, their time limit had expired. The door was closed. National Geographic magazine once showed a series of photographs and drawings of the swift and terrible destruction of the Roman cities of Pompeii and Herculaneum in AD 79. Some of you may have seen it, you may recall it. The eruption of Mount Vesuvius was such that the residents were killed whilst they were going about their daily, normal, everyday routine. Men and women were at the market. The rich in their luxurious baths, slaves were at their toil. People and animals were buried in hot ash, and as the ash hardened, it moulded itself to those who had died, and their bodies deteriorated inside, leaving a cavity there. The hardened ash remained. The saddest part is that these people did not have to die. Scientists confirm what ancient Roman writers record. Weeks of rumblings and shakings preceded the actual eruption of the volcano. Even an ominous plume of smoke was clearly visible from the mountain days before the explosion. Wow, warnings that it was coming. Every night I like to watch the news, and one of the things I like to see is the weather forecast. And I'm sure lots of you are like me, want to know what's coming. But weather forecasters, just like the rest of us, occasionally make mistakes. And once one of the forecasters stated, there is a 90% chance of tomorrow. Something was missed there. If it had been here, what was missed was probably the word snow. But anyway, there is a 90% chance of tomorrow. I personally would like to believe that our chances of tomorrow are better than that. But Jesus is saying, let's not be foolish. Let us be prepared. And the theological minds over the ages have concluded that the meaning of Jesus' parable is that the bridesmaids represent God's church, the people, us, awaiting the return of Christ and the rapturous banquet that is to follow. We know Christ is coming again. It's a promise, and Christ keeps every single one of his promises. We know it's coming. The bridegroom is Christ the Lord. The banquet is the rapture of Christ's eternal reign as a king, a time that no words can sufficiently describe, so wonderful, so magnificent. The delay of the arrival of the groom is the delay in our Lord's second coming. And the surprise arrival of the groom when only a few were prepared and expecting him, is Christ's return. And the closing of the door to the banquet is the final judgment, when many will be totally surprised to find that the door is closed to them. Time will have run out. No more opportunities to repent. No more warnings. Too late. If only I had known, I could have done something about it. If only I had known. 318 times the New Testament warns us that this is coming. This is going to happen. Jesus told us, Jesus keeps his promises, and Jesus says no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Don't listen to any of these evangelists who keep telling you it's going to happen on this day, on this year, whenever, whenever, whenever. The Lord Jesus Christ says no one knows, but it is coming. Be prepared. Only the Father knows. The late Lewis Gizzard, an author and humorist, was in hospital, and his pastor was by his bedside. And he was scheduled to have open heart surgery the next morning. And he confessed to his minister that his life had not exactly been a paragon of virtue. And he asked, was there still time for him to repent? And the pastor looked at his watch and he says, yes, but if I were you, I would hurry. If I were you, I would hurry. The city of Milan has a magnificent cathedral, the third largest cathedral in Europe. It has 52 marbled columns holding up its amazing octagonal dome. Statues of angels rise up all around you, and the effect, I understand, is one of grace, of grandeur, of beauty and vastness. And up front behind the altar, like a window opening out of heaven, is one of the largest stained glass windows in the world. And this window apparently depicts with tremendous imagery the triumph of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows the defeat of Satan as he is thrown into the bottomless pit, and the great white throne glows in the sunlight. And apparently most impressive of all is the great white horse and his even greater rider, with all of the armies of heaven riding behind him. This is real. This is going to happen. This is fact based upon the word of God. And this is how it is going to be. And we will all be there. We'll all be there. We'll be on one side of the door or the other. One side or the other. But Jesus is saying, be there. Be prepared and be there before the door closes. Thanks be to God. Amen. Whoa, let's sing something uplifting now. We stand and we sing to the glory of God. 543. When the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there.
You should be able to blast this one out.
Absolutely. Here we go.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll arise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer. To be God's people in this place, live his goodness, share his grace, proclaim God's mercy through his Son, be his love to everyone. And when we falter, be thou our comfort, guide us as your children that our lives may be a beacon in this darkness that surrounds us, a light that others then may see. To be God's people in this place, live his goodness, share his grace, proclaim God's mercy through his Son, be his love to everyone.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.